We are thankful for these words because they remind us of what it means to pray. And prayer is one of the six marks of discipleship that for the last 15 years or so we've talked about at St. Mark. Essentially, we say that there are six things that we can do to help grow our faith. Read the Bible daily, worship weekly, pray daily, serve others, relate to others, which is essentially being in Christian community, and giving generously, these six different things. And for those of us who have been here a long time, you've heard those sermon series as we've talked through that, but you've probably thought about the ones that you like most, and you're also going, there are some that I don't want to talk about right now. Like, there's one or two, and they stress me out just a little bit. I don't really want to be in a group or relationships with other Christians. I like my alone time. It's kind of a priority. For some, it's giving just feels like too much of a sacrifice, or Sunday morning is my day to sleep in, and worship is just too much for that moment, though you're here, so probably that's not an issue for you. For me, the one that I most often don't want to talk about is prayer. And there are some deep-seated realities in me that make me not want to talk about prayer. I was reading a book by Benny Johnson. She talks about what it means to be an intercessor, a person who prays on behalf of others. And she put into words what I felt. She said this: I grew up in a church where the intercessors did not look like happy people a lot of the time. From my small perspective, all those who were intercessors were the ones who walked around with what looked to me like very heavy burdens. The intercessors always looked sad to me, and I don't remember seeing them smile. This was true in my church as well growing up. There were these people who seemed to pray, and they would constantly say, you know, I'd love to pray for you, but they looked heavy. They looked tired. They forgot to smile. I always remember we would sing, you know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, and they would sing it like they'd never heard those words before. I've got the joy. You know, they were just overwhelmed, and it was so much. And I thought to myself, I like fun church. So I'm happy to do the lock-in. I'm happy to go on the service trip. I'm happy to do the big class and things like that. Please, Lord, for anything, don't let me get the gift of intercession, because I don't want to feel like that. That looks overwhelming in this moment. It overwhelmed me. I've learned about in my prayer life, I've learned, though, over the course of learning about prayer and understanding it, that there was part of this for me that was wrong. Not about them. They really were grumpy. They were overwhelmed by this reality. They were carrying other people's weight on their shoulders, and they let it get to them. I've definitely done that as well. What I was wrong about was not wanting prayer to be an integral part of my everyday life, because it made me nervous looking at how overwhelmed people were. Not wanting to be able to pray on behalf of others. This week, I was reading Luther's Small Catechism, or Large Catechism, because Lutheran pastor, and so these are the things we do just for fun. And I came across this little quote that shows up that Luther wrote 500 years ago. I think it's still really true. For we are in a situation where no person can perfectly keep the Ten Commandments, even though he has begun to believe. The devil, with all his power, together with the world and our own flesh, resists our efforts. Therefore, nothing is more necessary than that we should continually turn towards God's ear, call upon him, and pray to him. What's Luther saying? Well, it's simple. Whether or not you're a sinful person in a broken world is not up for debate. It just is. I don't know how to say it any other way. We are going to end up in the brokenness of this world one way or another. And sometimes, I love how he says it, even our own flesh conspires against us to follow the Ten Commandments. I'm like, I understand. Like, I've got a list of things where I'm going, I know what I should do, but I just don't, as Paul would say. But prayer, the question is, what do we do with that reality? Prayer isn't about taking on burdens you don't already have. Instead, prayer is giving burdens to God. It's giving burdens to God. Whether they're your burdens or they're other people's burdens. Because when I didn't want to be a person who prayed, especially on other people's behalf, what I didn't want to do is take other people's burdens for myself. I didn't want to feel, I already kind of knew at some point in time that I wanted to be a pastor, and what I didn't want to do is feel the weight of a few hundred people on my shoulders. That looked no fun. And I can still tell you right now, like, I know clergy and church leaders who are carrying the weight of the world around on their shoulders. They're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do that. Prayer is giving people, giving burdens to God. When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he doesn't say, take their burdens. He doesn't even say, take your burdens. But Luther reminds us that if we're going to do that, we're going to fall apart. It's going to be too much for us. That's why we need prayer. I remember there's a great Martin Luther quote. He had a habit of praying 1 hour a morning. How many, like, we all do that, right? I always hear that, and I'm like, an hour is so long. It's just ADHD me is going, can we fit it into, like, a whole bunch of TikToks so that I can go through this over and over again? I'm kidding, by the way. But this, it's so long, but he said, you know, normally I take an hour to pray, but I've looked ahead at my schedule, and there are so many things to do and so much work to do that today I'll have to spend 2 hours in prayer before I start. I thought to myself, that doesn't add up. But it does if we understand what prayer does rightly. Because when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, he teaches them a different way. What did we just read? He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. And we'll get to the prayer in just a minute, but this is always helpful. There's always a debate in the church. Should you pray the Lord's Prayer for verbatim, or should you use it as a model? The answer is yes, by the way. Yes, you should. Both. Both of them are good. But the truth is that if a guy can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, and he says, pray like this, it's a good prayer, ready to go, right? So here's what he says. He says, Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. If that's not the way you usually say it, remember there's always translation differences. And once we get used to saying something one way, we kind of keep it. But this is Luke's recounting of what Jesus taught them to pray. It's all these ideas. Because it's Jesus saying this. Look. Look up at God, our Father who is in heaven. And then it's your name and your kingdom. Those are the ones that are holy. And then it's give to us and forgive us and do not bring us. These are all, this prayer is a list of requests that are outside ourselves. They're not things that we're supposed to do. Don't ever forget, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it does not function as a pep talk. You know, I think sometimes we feel that way. We go, I need to get down on my knees and I need to talk to God, and God's going to give me the energy to take care of all of this stuff. That's not what Jesus teaches them to do. He says, why don't you just admit that you're already going to fall apart, and so you're going to need God to do most of this for you. Sounds about right. Sounds about how I feel most of the time. What does it say instead? It says, in prayer, you leave things with God. You leave things with God. In prayer, you leave holiness with God. We don't try to do it ourselves. We don't try to take care of things ourselves. This week, like most every week, when I get to praying on this, I start to notice what I see in the news. And you start to see people say, I need to really try hard enough so that, you know, I can get to the good place, the better place, the next step, if you will. And if not, I just don't know how it's going to go. No. When we pray, we start by going, it is not up to me. You are the Holy One. Hallowed be thy name, not my name. God, it's not that I'm going to try to do it myself. I'm going to leave holiness to God. I'm going to leave the kingdom to God. What does it mean that God is going to be in charge? It does not mean that I am going to enforce God's kingdom values with all the people around me. I'm going to say, it's actually your kingdom come, and I'm going to participate in what you're already doing, God. We leave our needs to God. Give us this day our daily bread. We leave our judgment to God. Forgive us, for we forgive one another. We leave our fears with God. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You hear what I'm saying? We leave it with God. We leave things with God. And when you bear someone else's burdens, you don't carry them around. You do what they can't in the moment. So often I've had somebody come up to me when I'm overwhelmed and the weight of the world is on my shoulders, and they say, "How can I pray for you?" And I'm going, "I don't really want to tell them because then they're going to have all of this issue too." But when you pray for somebody, what you do is you pick up their burdens, you walk over, and you drop it at the foot of the cross again. You leave it with God because it was never yours to solve to begin with. All you're doing is you're doing the work that they can't in the moment of taking those burdens and bringing them before the Lord and saying, "This is for you. I can't do this. I don't have any power over it." Prayer is unburdening. It's the kind of thing that when you're done with it, we should feel lighter or freer or more hopeful. Too many of those intercessors that I knew felt so burdened. But when I learned what Jesus is actually asking me to do, it's dropping this stuff at Jesus' feet and then going, "You're going to take care of that, right? You've got this. How do I get to be a part of the world that you've already created, but you're taking those burdens?" Why? Because the weight of the world is not up to you. If you get it done, if you get done with the Lord's Prayer and think, "Okay, now I've got a list of things that I need to do," you've missed it completely. It just right on by. Instead, it's this opportunity to recognize who we are and who God is. We're in this series right now called Free to Grow. And what are we talking about? Well, this is going along with this campaign that we've been doing as a church. And we're talking about this sort of big, audacious goal that our council and our leadership have set to reduce or eliminate our mortgage debt so that we can continue to take steps forward in the way that God calls us to. And if we're going to be free for some or all of a mortgage that right now it counts $2.5 million. That's a lot of money. If I brought everything I had and put it at the altar, it would not take care of it. That's the reality of what's going on right now. And you probably feel that same way. It's a lot. And we've been talking about this for a long time. And so often, when we talk about this, here's what I think. I think I've got to be the perfect pastor. Because if I could just be perfect for all of you, if all of you loved each other and loved me and thought the church was great and thought wonderful things, then all of this would happen and I would have done it. What's the problem with what I just said? Twofold. First problem, I said the word "I" far too many times. We, not I. We're a church. And it's not a pastor putting on a show, or musicians showing how well they can lead, or individuals saying, "I can take care of that for you," these sorts of things. We are a community. We are the body of Christ. And as a team, we work together toward problems. And anytime I get to the point where I think I've got to do it, or you get to the point where you think you've got to do it, we missed it. We missed it. Jesus talks about us being community and leaning on each other. Bear one another's burdens, for in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. But you bear them to the cross, because the second part is not, it's not just us, it's God, not us. I've been praying that God would give our church success. That's not the prayer we're called to pray. The prayer that God gives us is that we would notice that God does more than we could ask or imagine. And so I actually get to put my trust that God is already far out in front of us, taking care of things, doing things, moving forward, and realizing that even if I show up and say something and like four of you are mad at me and write letters to me when I get done at the end of this day, or we all are struggling together, or something happens in the parking lot and everybody's not excited about each other, whatever the details are, whatever it is, it actually wasn't up to me. It wasn't my job to do it. It wasn't our job to do it. We get to take the anxiety of going, "I think that's too much," and we get to lay it at the foot of the cross. That's what prayer does. We say we recognize it isn't about us. It is about the God we serve and who loves us. My prayer has been more of a pep talk, but it needed to be to lay success at the foot of the cross and trust that Jesus would do it. And if you've been walking away from your prayers on repeat with a longer to-do list or with more weight or more everything, you need to hear this essential truth. Give things to God, who is, it turns out, really, really good. And more than willing not just to listen, but to do things. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us that we can cast our cares on God because he cares for us, or on Jesus because he cares for us. We can give all of these things over to God because we're loved. And that's what we're doing with that campaign. That's what we're doing with this campaign. We're putting our cares on God and saying, God, if you want to see the success of this church go forward in the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and by success, I mean people's lives changed, people brought to the opportunity to experience God's kingdom, it's going to take things like this. But we have to pray like Jesus taught us and be reminded that it's not up to us. It's up to a God who loves you, a God who forgives you, a God who went from heaven to earth for you, a God who sent his son to die on a cross for you. And when Jesus wants us to know how much God loves us and how joyfully God responds to us on prayer, he gives us this reminder. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. When we grow in prayer, we stop treating everything like it's up to us. Because if it was up to us, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to make it. And so the truth is that we have to have God be a part of this. But Jesus says prayer is an opportunity to ask and search and knock. And so often we're like, well, what if God, you know, what if it doesn't work the way I envision it? What if things don't work out? Jesus doesn't answer any of those questions at all. Instead, he gives this great metaphor. And he essentially says, if you're a parent and you have kids, you want your kids to have what's best for them. Make sense? He says, you're going to want them. And then he goes on to remind us that sometimes you're not going to do your best for your kids. Sometimes you're going to hurt them or cause them trouble or cause them pain or all kinds of different things. I am fully aware that I tend to fall apart as a parent regularly. Sometimes I remind them that I'm trying to set aside a little money for their therapy fund every month just to make sure that they're able to be taken care of and loved and watched out for, because we're all going to fall short of this. But Jesus tells this story, and then he finishes it with this. He says, if then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He sent the Spirit with you to bear burdens, to pick things up, to remind you that when you go to prayer, you don't have to bear it alone, whatever it is. And when we put our trust in God, it's as good as 100 times the blessings that maybe our parents gave us as they watched over us, or we wished they would have. Because all that burden goes away, and we're left with joy, a celebration that in this world and in the next, that we are loved by God and that we can bring it all to him. And so as we close today, what I want to do is I want to pray first for you and second for this church, that we can start bringing these burdens, these cares, these anxieties, these worries, these fears to the foot of the cross and let Jesus take care of them. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often I look like those prayers that I knew when I was a young kid. Weary and heavy laden, with my shoulders bearing the weight of so much. God, I see it in the eyes of this community so often, that we're all carrying weight. that we're all hurting, that we're all struggling. Lord, bring us to the foot of your cross again. Let us give you these burdens. Let us be reminded that you love us, that we are blessed beyond measure in this world. And so we can pour things into you, or we can give things to you, and you can pour your Holy Spirit back into us, that we might leave your cross full of hope and joy. And as we think about some of the things that we're going to tackle as a congregation over these next few weeks, working on expanding our team to be able to do ministry, working on paying down some of the mortgage debt that has been preventing us from being able to say yes to what your next step is. Lord, we know it's not up to us. God, would you inspire hope in this community? Would you remind us that we have been okay before, that we have been through the joys and the hopes and the storms, and that we will be with you again, and we'll be reminded that we're loved and cared for today, tomorrow, and always. Lord, each one of us, let us bring this church's ministry to the foot of the cross and allow you to speak into it. Allow you to remind us that we are loved because you came to earth, because you loved us. And so we can reach out with that love, imperfectly as it may be, because we know the Spirit goes before us and does more than we can ask or imagine. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and together God's people said, amen.